Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello and welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our weekly look at anything and everything technology related from a blind and partially sighted perspective. As we always say, it's your program, so if you want to get in contact with us, you can drop us an email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K at rnib.org.uk. This week, we'll be speaking to the team behind the indoor navigation app Right Here. We'll also be having a chat to Humanware about the upcoming Braille Note Evolve, and we'll be running down some of the latest products available from the RNIB shop. The usual team joining me this week, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran. Jackie, I'll start with you this week. What's been going on with you?
I don't have anything new as such, but I will highlight an email forum which people might be interested. I get a lot of tech news from this. It's really well run, and it is only from the list owner, so it isn't a sort of an email list where you can contribute, but it is really full of useful information, and it's where some of us, I'm sure, get a lot of our tech news from. So if you want to send a blank email for this, then you can subscribe to it, and it is, as I say, only subscription. There's no kind of chat or anything like that. It's all the list owner sends out all the stuff. He scours the world, I think, every week for the best tech stuff, and then puts it in an email whenever there is anything. So it's David Goldfield's Tech Vi List, and to subscribe to this, it's TECH-VI, so that's tech-vi, and then there's a plus sign, subscribe at groups.io. So that's tech-vi plus sign, subscribe at groups.io, and then you will be added to his list, and he will send you anything relating to tech. A lot of it is from the States, of course, and Canada, but he also does UK, he does all around the world, so it's a real roundup of stuff every time he sends out an email, and I just think it was worth highlighting it in case people wondered where we get a lot of our info from.
It's a brilliant mailing list, is this. I get pretty much all my news from there. I don't know how he does it. I really don't know how he keeps up to date with everything. It's unbelievable. The only thing that's a bit of a shame about groups.io is that their email addresses, in my opinion, are so complicated, like the ones to subscribe.
It's that plus sign that people forget, I think.
That gets most people. It's like plus sign in an email.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you can do. Some people do that for websites. So you might have like Callum Stoneman plus RNIB at, you know, Gmail or something, which isn't my email address, by the way. But people use that to like differentiate between different sites. Yeah, you can have a plus sign in an email. But yeah, it's a brilliant list. What I do personally as well is that on Groups.io, you can change your settings. There's different options for different summaries. I can't remember all of them, but I've got a daily summary set up. So about 6 a.m., it just pings through with all a list of all the things that he's posted like the day before. So you just get, for me, that works quite well. You just get a nice little morning roundup of everything that's been posted.
It is a really worthwhile list. If anyone loves to get technology stuff, then this would be for you, because he covers everything all around the world. And I don't know how he does it either, but, you know, it is worthwhile having.
Highly recommend that one. Hubert, anything caught your eye this week?
A short one from me, and it hasn't impacted me yet, but I've seen some users post about this regarding the Meta glasses, where I've seen a few people mention that one of the latest software updates has impacted the voice that is used by the glasses. One of the main issues, and I guess it's not going to impact everyone unless you like your voice to speak considerably faster than the default rate, but apparently some people are not able to anymore change the speech rate of their voice on their Meta glasses. again, it's not an issue that will be a big thing for everyone. For me, though, I have my glasses speaking fairly fast. I think at the maximum 1.75 rate. That update has not gotten to me yet, but these updates don't always get to everyone straight away. But just a little warning that if you get an update, you might be, just so you're not surprised, that your voice may sound slower. I'm not sure if it happens to everyone, but I've seen a few posts about this.
I just updated the software on my glasses yesterday, but I haven't tried it yet. I did it. It was one of those things that, because sometimes while your glasses are in the case, if you leave that little switch turned on, they can still do updates and stuff. So it came up while they were in the case, so I haven't used it yet. But yeah, I've sped mine up as well. A glitch that I've noticed with mine lately is that sometimes he'll speak normally. Sometimes he'll randomly sound kind of panicked. It's weird. I was using it.
You ask him too many difficult questions.
Apparently, yeah. The thing that I use it for most of the time with Meta AI is, like I said before, checking products while I'm sorting the shopping out and stuff. And I did my usual thing, you know, what's this product? It told me. And then to stop it listening, I just said thanks. And it went from the normal voice to, you're very welcome. If you have anything else, feel free to ask. I'm like, all right, calm down. I'm not threatening you.
Did it sound as panicky as it does when your glasses get to like 15 or 5% and it goes, your glasses are 15%, charge soon.
That's it. Yeah. Like, yeah, it does. It's that sort of voice. I don't know what's going on there. Just every now and again, it will do it. I do wonder if the battery thing is intentional, because I found that quite funny.
I do find that quite amusing. I imagine it is intentional,
yeah,
to try and get you to put them on charge and such, but I do find it quite funny at the same time, because I've never had any technology do something like that, so it's quite funny.
I do wish, though, you know these bugs, you know how so many features are US only? They couldn't do that for bugs, could they?
Yeah, make them US only too.
Natalie, anything from you this week?
Two small things from me. So one is, I was helping a friend recently with a new laptop and just getting familiar with it. And he was actually using NVDA, which he'd never used before. But fortunately, a lot of the commands are similar to JAWS, which he is more familiar with. But something I wanted to flag, so anybody out there who gets a new laptop and realises they can't actually see the keyboard, so they don't know where anything is, the insert key, which is usually at least the default modifier key for NVDA and for JAWS and for Zoom Text actually as well, is typically, not always, but typically next to the delete key. And a delete key on a laptop, it tends to be on the top row up with the function keys over on the right hand side and has one of those little raised bumps on it that you get on the F and J keys. So if you can locate the delete key, the insert key is usually to the left of that, occasionally to the right, but usually to the left. And if you can find that, then you can do what we did, which is do insert plus one to turn keyboard help on and then hit all the other keys to find out what they do. But it was very funny because neither of us can see and both of us are like, okay, we need to find this. Seeing AI came to the rescue, but when I found it on his laptop, like I say, next to the delete key, I thought, oh, that's the same on every other laptop I think I've ever tried. This must be a theme.
I got caught out by this once, though, because on my Lenovo, that's where it is as well. It's the insert key. But on my Surface, my work laptop, that's the left of the delete key is the power button. So when I was first saying that one kept catching me out.
Yeah, do be careful of that.
But I think on most of them it is, particularly the ones with the like number pad, you know, the number row on the right hand side. Yeah, it's and that keyboard help as well is brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And the other thing I was going to mention, which is kind of almost the opposite of a tech tip, which is I had a go at the LinkedIn desktop app this week. Don't know if you guys have ever tried it. I tried it because I found the website very difficult to manage to navigate, and I was getting very hacked off with it. And I think I found something on the screen that said, try the new desktop app, it's more accessible or it's better or whatever. And I downloaded it. It was quick and easy to download. And I thought, No, it's just as bad as website. So don't try
Oh, nice.
it. Is my tech tip. Avoid it. Or it's no different. So if you prefer an app, by all means download it, but don't expect it to be any better than the standard experience, unfortunately.
Is it just me? Because I hear a lot of people talking about LinkedIn, but I always find even the iOS app a little bit tricky. I mean, I haven't used it in a while. I've paused my profile on LinkedIn because I was getting too many notifications. But I just never found reading posts and accessing links and accessing the alt text on photos to be, I don't know, I just find that really inconsistent.
I've tried it.
I'm not a fan, but equally, it's kind of one of those ones that's a necessary evil, I think, in some ways. You know, everybody's on there, so if you want to connect,
Yeah.
that's where you got to go. But I don't love it, and in some ways, that doesn't help either because I minimize my use with it, which means I do forget stuff. Like you're saying, even on the iOS app, something as simple as liking a comment, I can never remember how to do that.
Yeah.
It should not be that hard. But I always have to think, is it this one or is it this one?
I found as well with comments and posts and stuff, sometimes those options appear in the actions rotor and then sometimes they don't. Which, yeah.
I struggle too. I don't have an answer.
Had a love-hate relationship with the, because people can, even if you've got your privacy settings set to be only messaged by connections or whatever, people can, if people are on LinkedIn Premium, they can bypass that with sponsored ads and still message you anyway. And I always used to get jobs coming through that were completely unsuitable. But I remember one of them was I'd put on there that I work as a network designer and my experience in like networking and security and using Cisco devices and things like that. And I had this thing pop through, which was like, "Hello, Callum. I've been following your profile for a while. I've looked at your experience. I've looked at where you are," and like very personalized. But then it was like, "We think you would be a fantastic like candidate for this position." I clicked on the link, and it was located somewhere in the US. And one of the things on there as well was the essential quote. One of the things you must have essential was a driver's license. So it was like, okay, yeah,
Ah.
well done. That was good targeting.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always wonder about that. When a job says driver's license essential, are we still allowed to apply for it on the basis that you could get a taxis or a driver through access to work? I'm never sure about that one, actually.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. Well, I mean, if anyone knows, if anyone has those sorts of jobs, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, I suppose. Not quite tech, but it'd be interesting to know about. So, I've been playing with a new app over the last couple of days. I've been beta testing it. There's an app that I've seen called Flowtype, and this is based off. Does anyone remember Flicktype a few years ago?
Yes.
It was a typing app, yeah.
A few of these Flexi was a very old school one.
Yeah, so well, there was Flexi. This must have been easily about 10 years ago, if not more. But there was Flexi, and then that later became Flicktype. And what these are is basically, it was a keyboard app, but instead of the sort of touch typing method that you've got on iOS currently, where you sort of slide your finger around and then lift when you hear the letter, this was, you could tap roughly where you think the letter was, not tap and hold and slide around or anything, just tap it, the same way that a sighted person would type. And you'd then do a swipe right to enter a space, and it would predict the word that you wanted. And it was unbelievably accurate as well. And if it didn't get it right, you could swipe down, and that would cycle you through a list of suggestions. It had a bunch of other stuff in there as well, like you could set shortcuts to like emojis that you might frequently use. You could add a word to your dictionary. So if there was someone's name that wasn't in the dictionary, you could add it, and then it would take that into account as well. And this is basically what Flowtype is. This developer has just brought back all these features. I think it's probably a bit harsh to say it's a copy, but it pretty much is really. Like, if you've used Flicktype, if you remember it, this app will feel very familiar. It's pretty much the same gestures, same experience, same level of accuracy in my experience so far. I've only had it a couple of days. I mean, I'm fast with Braille screen input, but this was always has been so much faster. And yeah, this app is, it's just brilliant. I've only had it a couple of days and it's in beta. So it's one of those where you try not to get too excited about it, but I'm loving it so far.
I'll have to try at some point, because I was just going to say exactly what you said. I can type extremely fast with Braille screen input. So it's a case of whether I will be able to type faster with this or whether it'll be similar to Braille screen input, in which case I might as well stick to that. But yeah, it'll be quite interesting.
I've never actually tried using the Braille screen input. I know you can do it. I know how to do it. I've just never done it. Because like most people, I tend to be texting one-handed as I'm walking on the street. But what I have done over many years is I have added as many Braille keyboard shortcuts as I can come up with. Sorry, I've added as many Braille contractions as I can think of to keyboard shortcuts. So like CD for could or TD for today. So actually my typing's pretty fast, because I rarely type out the full words because I use all the shortcuts I'm already familiar with from knowing Braille.
Now that is cool. That is a good tip, actually.
That's quite a clever hack, that is. I've not thought of this.
Yeah, that is.
So this is a standard iOS feature. Where do you go to set this? Is it general and then keyboards where you can set these little...
Exactly, it's really easy. I think it's settings, general, keyboards. They call it text replacement as opposed to shortcuts, but that's what it is. And then there's two fields. There's one that says phrase, so you can make it as long or as short as you want. And then one that is shortcut, and you type in whatever combination of letters you want that to be. So I've done everything from simply the word butts all the way through to on train one, see you soon, which I can type out in just a couple of letters. So yeah.
I've done that to my email address because it's too long.
Oh, I've done that for email addresses, for my address, because the number of forms where it times out and you have to do it all again. Yeah, done it for all of those things.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've done one for my email address, one for my home address. And, you know, I never thought of adding almost Braille contractions to it. That is good. And to be fair, FlowType as well will kind of respect those keyboard shortcuts as well. So if you've got one, you can kind of type it your normal way in flow type, and then it will, when you do a space, one of the suggestions will be that shortcut that you've put in as well. And to be fair, but it doesn't take away from any of your other keyboards. Like, there's no reason you still couldn't use Braille screen input or dictation or anything like that. But this just appears anywhere there's a text field, it just appears as another option. With it being beta, it's always worth emphasizing this, there are bugs. The developers already indicated that because of an Apple bug with the keyboard API, he has said it's a little bit messy in the mail app and on web content. So if you're applying to, say, a forum that's part of a website, sometimes it can not work great on there. But in most apps, I mean, I've been using it in WhatsApp and messages and playing around in notes, testing it in there, and it works absolutely fine. So you won't find this in the App Store yet. But it is on test flight, so if you don't mind jumping into a beta, best place to find it is on the AppleViz website. So appleviz.com, and just have a scroll through there. If you can't find it, just search for FlowType, I guess, FlowType. But it's getting a lot of traction, this app, so it'll probably be in the list of recent posts somewhere. Well, a lot to get into this week, as always. Stick with us. It's another Tech Talk.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are going to talk navigation today, as joining me from right here is Community Manager Chanel Mattis. Chanel, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Chanel, what I'd like to start with, we've spoken about right here on Tech Talk quite a while back, so it'd be good to refresh the listeners' memory. Can you tell us what right here is?
We are a wayfinding app and service. So essentially, we work with organizations, buildings, companies, parks, basically spaces where people navigate through. We help them make them more accessible using audio signs. So that's talking signs, that is any written text or visual information that needs to be translated to a person with visual impairment is presented through this technology. We work with beacons and we work with markers. So the last time we came on, we did not have the markers. Markers are a newer add-on to our featuring. So what's really cool is the two of those features work together to give you overarching information and the more granular information as you navigate through a space. I tell people we are not a navigation app. This does not replace orientation and mobility by any means. You will still need your orientation and mobility skills as you navigate. We're not turn by turn. Our purpose is not to tell you exactly step for step how to get someplace. Our purpose is to level the playing field between being visually impaired and being sighted. If a sighted person walks into a room, they can immediately assess a space. They have spatial awareness. They understand what's in the room, where it's located, and they can make a decision accordingly. There's no one standing there going, and to your left is. So the idea here is that we get the audio information of that same space. For example, if I walk into a room, it's going to tell me where the lo that I'm in the lobby of a specific place. It's going to tell me where the reception desk is. It's going to tell me where the chairs might be, the elevator might be, the rubbish bin, whatever it is that you may have in that space that's relevant to you as a person who's just entered that space. And as you move through that space and you shift your location, maybe you've turned right or you've turned left, whatever the case may be, that information shifts with you. So where the reception desk was when you first stepped into the room has now moved, and it will now give you a completely different information. So for example, if I stepped in and the reception desk was directly to in front of me, if I turn left, it's now going to tell me that the reception desk is to my right. And it will give me a general gauge of how far away that item is, which is really helpful for orientating yourself in a space. And with the markers, they are able to get that even more detailed. So, for example, if I walk into a cafeteria and there's several different food options, we can have markers that specifically, as you're panning your camera around with our app open, it will automatically grab that marker, tell you what is in that space, tell you how far you are from that specific point of interest. And then as you're walking toward it, it will update. You're 12 feet away, you're 6 feet away, you're 2 feet away. But if you turn away from it, it's no longer going to annoy you with information you're not interested in. Because obviously, if you turned away, you don't care. So now you're looking for another marker, and maybe you don't want tacos today. You want roast beef sandwiches, and you're looking for that specific stand. So you can keep scanning until you find that marker and then move towards that specific item.
In regards to the Bluetooth beacons, how are they set? Are they set by the venues themselves where Right Here is installed? What does that aspect work?
In many cases, yes. There are certain situations where we have ambassadors or volunteers in the area that we've worked closely with to help them better understand how to do it. And they may come in, especially if they were involved in advocating for that specific location to be accessible. A lot of times they will come in and help make that process more seamless for the location to be involved in it and to champion the process. In most cases, it is the venue who does it, but we fully walk everyone through that process. It's very simple. In fact, in many cases, it's done within the day. So it's not a difficult process by any means.
How does the app handle both, literal environmental noise and data noise to make sure the user isn't overwhelmed with too much information at once?
In most cases, most individuals, as they're walking through, choose to use some sort of earbud, whether it be bone conduction headsets or whatever the case may be. That's a personal preference. We have no control over what a individual user chooses to use for audio, so we don't have much control in that particular capacity. But I will say that we try to work with organizations and venues to make sure that the text that is being submitted has meaningful relevance. It's not just a whole bunch of words being thrown at you for no reason. In most cases, we try to err on less is more. There are a few locations that we work with that really lean into the detail, but they choose their, they choose their battle on which places and which spaces are going to have that extra detail and which don't. And it's really subjective to the place, the organization, and also their patronage. Because, for example, if it's a nonprofit low vision organization, they may automatically err on the side of more information. Whereas if it's a restaurant, you know, they may just say women's room on the bathroom door rather than say, this is the women's room and there are three bathroom stalls and two sinks and they're located in these locations. So it's definitely a case by case situation because they are the ones who control what goes into the markers and the beacons.
And what platforms is Right Here available on currently?
Both Apple and Android. We just recently released a brand new overhaul updated app to the iOS system. Our Android is in progress, should be releasing very soon. Definitely want to try it out if you haven't, if you've touched it before, but you haven't in a while, you may want to open it up, take a look. We have several more updates coming down the line. There's some big improvements and changes and whatnot coming down the pipeline in the very near future. So definitely keep your eyes and your ears peeled for upcoming changes.
If, let's say, someone listening wanted a venue to be available on Right Here, you know, how do they go about it? Do they approach yourselves? Do they have to approach the individual venue owners to approach you guys instead? How does that process work?
So we have found that the best way to get a place to become accessible is for someone from the community to reach out directly to that venue. Because the reality is that we could tell them they're not accessible and that blind people would appreciate accessibility until we're blue in the face. But they don't really believe it until someone who's actually blind or visually impaired walks in and says, hey, this is what I want or this is what I need. And oftentimes, they think they're doing enough, or they think no one who's blind or visually impaired cares because no blind people actually show up to their venue because they have this misconception that all blind people must have a cane or a guide dog. And so until you bring their attention to it as a community member, it really holds no value. So we encourage you to reach out to your organization, your community space, your park, your restaurant, your library, whoever it is that you're trying to make accessible, wherever it is that you visit, make yourself known to them. Let them know that you do frequent their facility and that you do want more accessibility. You can definitely tell them about us. If you want resources, we do provide resources on our website. So if you go on there and you go to our advocacy page on the website, there is templates for different conversation starters for that. You can also reach out to me directly if you need assistance for a more nuanced or specific case. If you know someone specific you want me to be connected with so that I can start that conversation on your behalf, you can just reach out and say, hey, I really want this. Here's the person. Please talk with them. And then I take it over from there. So you've basically started the conversation and now I take it over. So you don't have to put in as much work, or if you're not comfortable, you're not familiar with the process, that's absolutely okay. We're happy to do that. So it's really, really about you starting the conversation and then in some way, whatever is most comfortable or most relevant to your situation, looping us in.
Are there plans to integrate more AI into Right Here, for example, to be used for object recognition, maybe in terms of identifying temporary obstacles or changes in the room layout?
Not as far as I have been made aware. That is not something, but that is a fantastic idea. And I'm going to make a note of that for our development team to consider. But no, I do know that we are in talks with different other apps and organizations trying to see if there's ways for us to collaborate. I do know that we are in talks with different smart devices, such as smart glasses, various types and brands and companies of those, to see what we may be able to collaborate with and see if there's more ways to access our information and make it more hands-free, more universal, if that's a possibility. It's something we would really like to see happen. So we are working toward more growth and more change. But unfortunately, object or obstacle detection has not yet hit our plate, as far as I know.
Are there plans to expand right here to, say, bigger venues such as complex venues such as airports or hospitals?
Absolutely. We're actually already in some of those locations, at least here in the United States. We are definitely, so we are global. So there's over 2,500 locations worldwide. And in many of those locations, we are in some really big locations, including we have stadiums here in the United States that we are a part of. So we are in a couple of hospitals, in national parks. So we're definitely in some pretty big venues. And we are in at least one airport that I know of off the top of my head.
So, if people would like to learn more about Right Here or maybe get the app, where can they go to get more information?
Well, if they would like to get the app, they can certainly go on to their app store of choice. So whether that's Apple's App Store or Google's Google Play, you can certainly find us. We are spelled Right, RIGHT, Here, HEAR, one word. So just make sure you aren't voice dictating that, because it will not dictate it correctly. And if you're interested in learning more about us, or you just want to connect with me, or just be part of the community, join the movement, if you will, you can go onto our website, right-here.com, and you can go on to either, like I said, our advocacy page to learn more about the advocacy tools we have available for you, or you can go on to our community page, which talks about joining our movement, which is, it's an email, but it's not a newsletter. It is a blast that I send out when there's relevant information to share about upcoming advocacy efforts, webinars, trainings that we're doing on advocacy, new locations that have been unlocked and have now been made accessible. Just anything that's community related and advocacy related will be in that specific. So you can join it and you'll get emails from me.
Fantastic, Chanel. Well, many thanks for telling us about the Right Here app. Hopefully, we can certainly hear more about it in the future. And if you are using Right Here, or if you end up using it following this interview, do let us know your thoughts. We would love to hear from you. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. For now, Chanel Mattis, Community Manager at Right Here, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have been here.
Making technology accessible. Tech Talk.
With me today is Andrew Flatris from Humanware. You're the product Braille product manager for Humanware. Andrew, you're very welcome. Thank you
Hi,
very
Jackie. Thank you
much.
for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. Obviously, the big product at the moment from Humanware's perspective in the community is the Braille Note Evolve. I've heard lots of excitement about it from people who want a Windows machine instead of another Android device. Can you tell me, first of all, why you decided to move away from Android and go to Windows instead?
It's a very good question. And so there's a couple of reasons behind that. Well, firstly, we've been working with Android since 2014 when we first introduced the original Braille Note Touch. And that was kind of the era when everything was all about touch screens and applications, app does this, app does that. So we wanted to follow suit, wanted to make sure that our consumers, our users can also achieve those same tasks using such a Braille-centric device. But as time progressed with Android, we really started to see that whole ecosystem was just not feasible for both Humanware as a manufacturer and also our consumers. I mean, our consumers, users wanted more out of such a device, and Android being a platform for a mobile device just has that limitations. And not only that, there was the concerns of the longevity of a product on Android. When you think about Android phones, they tend to cycle after 2 or 3 years at max. And something like a Braille note, we want to ensure that the longevity is at least, you know, reaching 5 years. I mean, we understand and appreciate people pay a lot of money for such a product. And so we expect high capabilities on such a device and longevity. So that's one of the first few things there. The other piece is, of course, working towards employment. And when we look at the whole grand scheme of things of employment and what platform people use, Microsoft Windows is the most dominant platform that you tend to use in business and employment. Yeah. You know, we want to make sure that our users are competent and are users of Windows devices to allow them to achieve their future goals and be employable. So it made sense for us to completely switch from that Android environment to a Windows environment, which we know that people aim to be at. And we then see those other challenges about, okay, well, what's happening now from someone using an Android note taker or even a note taker such as an Apex, you know, and they transition over to screen readers? Because we know humanware that screen reader skills is an important skill to have. We don't have a screen reader, but we've always advise that, you know, even though you may have a note taker, at some point you do need to transition and learn those screen reader skills. And the feedback and what we've been seeing in the past is, in some cases, this is not everywhere, the reluctance to transition over to screen reader. The challenge is that a younger user that may have transitioned over to screen reader. And of course, those that are supporting students going into screen readers, you know, we see that it can be overwhelming to teach and learn a screen reader. And we wanted to kind of bridge that gap in all kind of areas. You know, firstly, that we wanted younger users to go straight into Windows. At the same time, we need to ensure that they're concentrating on their curriculum at school and not having to really focus on the AT. And at their own time, when they're ready and when the teacher's ready, you gradually release those kind of skills or go into those skills of screen readers. And that's where the Braille Note Evolve was kind of created. We wanted to have a platform that people are familiar with, which is the Keysoft experience, a simple way of using a device, a Braille device, getting on with the curriculum, writing their notes, saving documents, opening documents, etc. But then at the same time, the product will evolve when they're ready. And that's the reason why Braille Note Evolve is out today.
So tell us about Evolve. What is it? What does it do? What can people expect when they have one in their hands?
Okay. So the Braille Note Evolve, it's a Braille first device that blends Keysoft with Windows 11 Pro. And that doesn't mean you have to use Windows. It's so versatile, and that's the great thing. We wanted to make it versatile. We don't want to lock down these devices. But at the same time, to get the simplicity, to get people using the product without getting lost if you're not used to screen readers, we do have to make those changes. So when you first have the device, and I'll talk about the buttons that we've introduced, the device itself weighs around about 900... don't quote me on this, it's about 900 odd grams that it weighs. So it's a similar weight to the Braille Note Touch Plus without the carrying case, because I know the carrying case on the Braille Note Touch weighed quite a bit. So think of the Braille Note, if you've got a Braille Note Touch Plus, take it out of its carrying case and it weighs around that. And it's a similar form factor. The size is very similar to that kind of the device without the carrying case. So I'm really impressed with how the team has managed to get a Windows computer into a small profile. So it's a Windows 11 Pro computer. It has Perkins keys, so 8-dot Perkins keys, space bar. In between your 1 and 4, we have an up, down, left, right arrow. Above the backspace, we have the escape key, and above the enter key, we have a delete key. And then either side of the spacebar, we have introduced some additional buttons. We don't like to add buttons here at Humanware, without a real reason. We like to keep things relatively simple, but these buttons are critical, certainly if you transition over to screen reader. So either side of the spacebar are a group of keys, 3 keys. So on the left, we have a larger key, which is the shift. To our bottom left is a control key, and to the right of that is the alt key. And then right to the spacebar, again, we have a group of three keys. The larger key is our insert key, which is also known as the NVDA or JAWS key. And then on the bottom right, we have our Windows key, and to the left of that is our function key. So those keys are all our modifier keys, which you'll be using when you're using as a screen reader. But the great thing is that you don't need to use those keys to start this device or to run this device. And that's the idea. The whole kind of idea behind this is that you're a younger learner. You go into this device. You don't know screen reader skills, but yet you know Keysoft skills, or you just want to start learning this device. You can just use Braille. So it's Braille centric driven. And then when you're ready, those modify keys, you can enable them and you can start to learn those screen reader skills at your own time. We have a Braille display attached to this device. So it's all in one. It's an all in one solution. Has a 32 cell. But it also comes as a 20 cell is available. And later this year, we will have a QWERTY model as well, which I know a lot of people are excited about. Front edge, we have the HumanWare signature thumb keys, four thumb keys. And in the middle, we do have a home key. So those that are familiar with our Braille displays, maybe it's a Mantis or Brilliant, it's a very similar layout. So we have those four keys and a home key. To the left of the device, we have our power button. We have two USB-C Thunderbolt connections, which means basically it doesn't matter which what USB-C you connect to charge, you can charge. And it also offers a video out through that USB-C Thunderbolt. We have a HDMI port on that left side, and we have a Kensington lock. To the right side, we have a USB-A, we have a 3.5 millimeter jack, volume keys, and an action button, which is assigned to dictate or record in at this moment in time. But inside the device, it's quite a powerful device. It's, as I said, it's Windows 11 Pro, but it features on a chipset of Intel Ultra Core 5. So it's a new Intel processor, Ultra Core 5. It's not an Intel i5, it's an Intel Ultra Core. So it's a newer processor than your i7s and i5s that you tend to benchmark to. And it has 32 gigabyte RAM. So again, the RAM is critical, is very important to show how rapid it could be. And we want to make sure that this device is a longevity, but also future-proof to a point. We have Wi-Fi 6 compatibility. We have two Bluetooth version 5 components in there. And the reason why we have two Bluetooths is one is for your peripherals that you would tend to use with Bluetooth. So it could well be a QWERTY keyboard, it could be headsets. The other reason is, of course, for the other Bluetooth is for Braille terminal. So you'll have the capabilities of connecting to your iPhones and Android device and use the Braille Evolve as a Braille terminal. So in the device itself, though, it's powered by a customized NVDA with a Keysoft layer or Keysoft feel. And that's really important. So NVDA, obviously, it's open source. Our team has spent hundreds and thousands of hours, not redesigning, but just changing under the hood of NVDA. And a lot of that code, what's great, a lot of that code is going back into the community, which is fantastic. It's a great work effort from HumanWare, bringing some of this code into NVDA. And NVDA has of course, supported us along this route. But there are some things that would be different compared to the standard NVDA that you'd get. And that's really important to know, like the Braille experience. So we've made some real heavy changes under the Braille. And, of course, with our version of NVDA and Keysoft, it includes a cappella voices, it includes Duxbury Braille tables. And what we've done is we've made it Keysoft, a kind of a Keysoft feel. So it's powered by NVDA, but we've had a layer of Keysoft to make it very familiar. So if all those Keysoft shortcuts that you know and love from previous devices or current devices, such as Braille displays that have the Keysoft light, you'll be familiar with this. And so the idea is that you're in that Keysoft ecosystem and it wouldn't be a steep learning curve. So as you've kind of get to the menu, so we have a Keysoft menu that lists all of your applications that you've installed. It's a linear menu. You can also then utilize the Office 365 add-ons that we have created. So within the Office environment, applications such as Word, Outlook Classic, PowerPoint, and Excel, we've included a Keysoft add-in. And what that does, it customizes the ribbon of each of these apps. And again, makes using these apps in a Keysoft fashion, but more importantly, a browse-centric way. Rather than using those modified keys to achieve your tasks, like to achieve headings or to do find or other tasks that you may have, increase font size and all things like that, we have done this as a braille-driven way. So you can achieve those tasks in a braille way rather than using those modified keys. But you could also use our HumanWare application menu. And the purpose of that application menu is you may be a new user to a Windows computer entirely. You may be either someone who's maybe just lost their sight wanting to use this a computer with Braille. You may be a younger learner. You can go into this application menu and you'll be able to learn Braille shortcuts, the Braille shortcuts that's relevant to Keysoft. But then also next to those Braille shortcuts, it will give you the QWERTY shortcut, which helps you then transition to your QWERTY skills and your screen reader skills. So before you know it, as you're using the Evolve, you will start to familiarize yourself with those QWERTY keys, those modifier keys. So as you're ready, you can then transition when you're ready, rather than spend too much time in learning the product and sacrificing your learning the curriculum or something else. You're actually getting on with your work, but you're learning at that same time. So that's been a wonderful piece of, development there, just alone, those add-ons, making using Word, Office, the Word, Excel, PowerPoint, more Braille-centric and simpler to use, no matter what level that you're at. So the idea now is that you could be a beginner, or you can go all the way to be an advanced. And as you progress with the BrailleNote Evolve, at any point you can continue to use NVDA as your predominant screen reader, or you can switch over to any other screen reader, such as Dolphin or Jaws. You are in control. And that's the great thing about this product, is that it's so versatile that it's customized to majority of users' needs. And that's really hard when you develop products, Jackie, when trying to fit everyone's needs, trying to make everyone happy is a very big challenge. But I like to think that with the BrailleNote Evolve, I think that we've pretty much got a good 90% of people that are happy.
Yeah, I think I've seen it because I'm one of the private beta testers at the moment. And I have to say that for me to have a portable Windows environment to work with, I think it's, I love the name as well. I think it really, the name really suits it, because it is something that is evolving all the time and will continue to evolve as screen readers become more efficient than they already are. And Microsoft, ups the ante with their features. I think it is perfectly named as Evolve. But I like the idea that it can be as simple or as advanced as you want it to be. I'm very much a Windows user, and I was very pleased to see that HumanWare had gone down the road of the Windows environment as opposed to Android, because I do agree that there are limitations with an Android note taker. It is really good that you can actually progress to be an advanced user. I've actually installed Jaws on mine. I like the way it works with NVDA though, and I've customized it so that I can use Jaws as well if I want to switch. And that brings me to a question. I understand that anybody purchasing an Evolve can get 6 months trial of Jaws, which is a version that will only work on Evolve. If you don't already have Jaws, if you're not a regular Jaws user and you want to try it, that does come as 6 months with the Evolve. Can you tell us about that, Andrew, how it works?
Yeah, sure. So So as we mentioned, it is powered by the NVDA. So you already have a screen reader that's customized.
Yeah.
But we understand that there's all other screen reader options. And so we have partnered with Vispero. And with our partnership, we're able to offer a 6 months free trial with JAWS. And the great thing is it will only activate when you're ready. So the idea is, as you're that younger learner, you may be in Keysoft, you may be a new user to a screen reader world. So you start off with kind of our NVDA and Keysoft element, and you could then progress with the NVDA if you wish to. But at some point, maybe you may want to try out JAWS. You may even want to try out Dolphin, and we'll have a similar package to offer as well, Jackie. You heard it here first.
Excellent.
But the six months offering with Vispero is available. The way that you'll claim that would be to contact HumanWare or local HumanWare representative, and we'll have to get your serial number so that we can then send you a license code. And something similar will be available for the Dolphin screen reader as well. Again, we wanted to make sure that we give people choices. Just like now is a fantastic time for Braille displays and Braille technology in general. There's a lot of Braille technology out there. There's a lot of choices, which is fantastic. I remember, probably 10 or so years ago, there wasn't as often as much Braille as there is today, in different packages, in different sizes, different price points, different value propositions. So it's really good to have an offering here to give people choices. And that's what we're here to do. We want to give people choices of, okay, if you want to try it with JAWS, and the 40-minute mode, of course, is useful, but I personally don't think you get a good feel to how you could use such a device in that. So Vispero has been fantastic in that respect. And same with Dolphin. We'll be looking at something similar where perhaps you contact Dolphin, you'll be able to get the 6 months free trial as well. So that's something that we are working towards as well. The only difference is with the JAWS, you can then purchase JAWS for Braille Notes from HumanWare or a local HumanWare representative as well at a different price point, a cheaper price point. The big difference is, and that's what a lot of people have been asking, is, well, what is the difference? There's no difference in terms of using the actual JAWS version on the Braille Notes. The only thing is that it's only licensed to the Braille Note itself. So you can't use the license and go onto another computer. Whereas if you do have another license of JAWS, you can use up to three computers. That being said, if you have your already got a license, you can use that as well. So I want to make sure that is clear, is that you can use your current licenses. It's not a problem. But if you're just using JAWS on the Braille Note and that will be your main computer, then of course you can buy JAWS for Braille Note from HumanWare at a lower price point.
Yeah, that's really good. And it gives people, as you say, lots of choice. Now, in terms of pricing, what's the situation at the moment, and when can we expect Evolve to land?
Yeah, very good question, Z. So we're just waiting for our kind of release candidate software, which you'd be glad to know that I'm hoping it's this week. providing all being well, the plan is to tip towards the end of June. So at the moment, we're in mass production mode. So there's units that have all been built. We're just waiting now for the software. We've got a big backlog of back orders to fulfill. So at the moment, it is on pre-order. You have to go onto the waiting list. It's based on a first come, first serve. Those that are wanting to order or place an order today will likely get their devices probably kind of middle towards the end of July. The price point in pounds, I always think in dollars, I work a lot in the American side, but the price in pounds for the Braille Note Evolve 32 is £5,495. For the 20 cell version, it will be £1,000 difference. So that'd be £4,495. Keep in mind, we do offer a fantastic trading offer. If you have a Braille Note Touch Plus, you get £1,000 off if you've got the 32 cell version. If you have an 18 cell version, you'll get £500 off. And we've got some great offers that will trade in with competitive products as well. So you may even have a BrowSense. You may even have old brow displays. We have various different packages to allow you to get some discounted, get the above at a discounted rate. That won't be available for long, though. So I must say, I don't know when it will end, but it's not going to be around forever. The idea is of this trading, as we've done in the past, is we've always liked to ensure that people can get to the latest product, latest equipment, as they, you know, follow the latest products. I mean, like BrowNet Touch, we did a trading with the Touch Plus and so forth. We did an upgrade. We can't do any upgrades as such on the BrowNote Evolve from Touch Plus. So that's why we've offered this great trading offer that gives you £1,000 off as well. So, and yeah, so hopefully I'll answer that question, Jackie. So just to re-summarize, shipping should start at the end of this month. And if you're really interested in placing orders, please contact us today to get into that waiting list.
Yeah, the contact number to call if anybody is interested and wants to purchase or find out more information is contact HumanWare on 01933 415 800. Andrew, thank you so much for spending time with me today talking about the Evolve. I'm really excited and looking forward to the future with this device, as I'm sure a lot of people are in the community. But thank you very much.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you.
Time here on RNIB Connect Radio to browse through some of the products that you will find in the RNIB online shop through shop.rnib.org.uk/connect, as I am joined again by Charlie Jarvis, who is the RNIB's shops buying administrator. Hello, Charlie, and welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, thanks for having me.
With Father's Day coming up on Sunday, the 21st of June, this time we are looking at what might be a good present to buy for a blind or partially sighted dad. And if you go to shop.rnib.org.uk/connect, you will find a great selection of ideas, ranging from accessible Father's Day cards, watches, tech gadgets to hampers, and some very nice whiskey glasses, which I would not mind having in my own collection too. So, Charlie, do give me a bit of a rundown on some of those Father's Day's products ideas that people can find in the RNIB online shop.
Absolutely. So we've got a fantastic range of gifts for Father's Day this year. So I'll give you a rundown of the list because there's something in here for everybody, whether you drink or whether you're into gardening. So we have a wine accessories gift set, which you can pick up for £25. We have a barbecue accessories gift set if your dad's into cooking, which is £45. We have a trowel and secateur set for gardening, which is also £25. There is a four-piece garden tool set for £35. There is a whiskey glass for the cyclists, which is £25. A whiskey glass for fishing, £25, and for the golf lovers, which is £25 as well, and also for the rugby fans in your life, which is £25. Then we have a men's weekender wash bag set, which is £30, a men's wash duo gift set, which is £20, a men's shower essentials gift set, which is £25, a shaving gift set for £28, a pint glass and coaster set for dad, which is £20. And then the pint glass and coaster set for granddad, which is £20. And then the pint glass and coaster set that says The Legend, which is £20. And finally, a glass, mug, sock and coaster set for dad, which is £23.
And I was also, when I was looking at some of these selected items, as well as all those ones you mentioned, there are some really sort of handy things that, you know, might be good just for sort of, you know, people doing a bit of cooking in the kitchen, you know, level indicators and that kind of stuff, to talking scales, and just some very useful things which I think many sort of blind or partially sighted dads might like to have on Father's Day.
Yeah, so we've got a fantastic range of products on offer, one of which is our new speech label products, which can be used anywhere in the home using a smartphone or tablet. So you just stick the label on whichever product you like and you can record your own content onto it. So those can be used for sort of your kitchen products to record use-by dates on what's in the tin. They could be used on your shampoo and conditioner or your aftershave to record what scent you've got. So they come in packs of large or small labels or assorted packs, and they're called speech labels. And then we also have a huge range of shared reading books for fathers and their children to read together. Some of our popular titles include The Smeds and the Smooths, or Scarecrow's Reading, or Nicky and Candy Street, which is a special book about blind and partially sighted children. And those can be picked up for around £12 each, which is extremely reasonable. And then we also have the seed ball products. So these are for the gardeners in your life, or just somebody that wants to bring a bit more wildlife and nature into their garden. So examples of the options we have available are daisies and poppy seeds. We've got products to attract birds or bats. We have wild rocket, basil, a tin for bees to attract the bees into your garden, and also chives and mixed herbs as well. And those can be picked up for around £6.50 to £7. We also have large print puzzle book selection, including our newest edition, which is a whodunit option. So it's a bit of a crime mystery option, which is really exciting and new for us, for the true crime lovers in your life. And those can be picked up for around £9 each. But we also have word searches, crosswords and Sudoku puzzles as well, along with the Father's Day card selection. So there's something for dad or stepdad in there. And my favourite design at the moment is "You're a fun guy," and then it has a mushroom on the front with a big smiley face. That is the best one, in my opinion.
And the nice thing about the R&IB online shop is that there's, you know, not only the website is accessible, but there's lots of information and description about the product. So if you're, you know, having a browse, you can find out exactly what the product looks like and, you know, sort of how it works as well.
Absolutely. And our cards in particular are fully accessible. So the images on the front are completely tactile. And along with the printed message, they also have the message in Braille and a description of the image on the card in Braille as well. So it's something that everybody can enjoy regardless of their level of vision.
Well, to find out more about the selected Father's Day products and many more in the R&IB online shop, do go to shop.rnib.org.uk/connect. Well, thank you very much indeed, Charlie, for chatting with me again here on R&IB Connect Radio and telling me more about the great range of Father's Day products that people can find in the R&IB online shop.
Thank you.
And that is all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. And if there's anything that you want to share or anything you want us to talk about, get in touch. You can drop us an email or a voice message to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll be back with you next week. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovic, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.